Our scripture lesson for today is comes from Ephesians chapter 1, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Listen for God's word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Dear First Presbyterian Church, I often receive mail that is addressed that way. Dear First Presbyterian Church. Sometimes the sender tries to make it personal, like Dear Mr. Church or Dear Presbyterian, Mr. Presbyterian. While I know that such letters are not personal but business, I was reminded of them this week as I reflected on today's scripture reading, which is actually the beginning of a letter from Paul to one of the early Christian churches. Paul began his letter to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about Paul's letter this week, I also happened to come across some handwritten letters and notes on my desk. Letters written by some of you to me. You wrote to say thank you. Thank you for being present with you during your baptism, welcoming you into membership, standing by you in your grief and loss, walking with you on your faith journey, just to name a few. I am grateful for what you wrote and how you wrote it, handwritten. Paul's letter would have been handwritten as well. Your letters and Paul's letters got me thinking that maybe today I could write a letter to you. During this pandemic and over the past 9 months, we have done so much with technology to stay connected, but others of us have been using low-tech ways of communicating as well, like writing a letter or sending a card. So if you will allow me, I'm going to use a high-tech way of talking to you to share a low-tech letter I'm composing even now. The other reason I thought about writing you a letter is that today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the Christian year when we stand between where we stand between the past year that is now over and the new year that is about to begin with the first Sunday of Advent next week. Next Sunday, we replace the color green with purple to signal a new season of waiting and preparing for God's presence. As we stand here today, perched between these 2 years, both looking back and looking forward, it seems like a good time to remember one of the core beliefs of our faith, which is just as true yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and no matter what day or year it is. On Christ the King Sunday, we remember and celebrate that all of life, and in all of life, Jesus is Lord of all. As Jill Duffield writes for the Presbyterian Outlook, Jesus' rule is marked not by might, but by tenderness, not with status, but with service, not with control, but with compassion. The antithesis to our worldly ways and desires is stark on this Sunday, perhaps especially now in the wake of such a contentious election season. The inability to relinquish power, the desire for divisiveness, and a lack of transition. Today is a good day to remember that Jesus is Lord, and that defines who we are. On this Christ the King Sunday, and on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, we look back and we give thanks for who we have become as a result of choosing to follow the way of Jesus, the way of tenderness, service, and compassion as our way. That's the real measure of our work together, to look back and see how we have embodied the presence of Jesus in who we are and what we have done. If we look back over the last year and only see our shortcomings, then we aren't looking deep enough. If we look back and only see good deeds, then we aren't being people of faith and love. I think the Ephesians could have done the same thing, but Paul didn't mention their shortcomings or just their good deeds. Instead, he said to them, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." They may not have always seen their faith, but other people could look at them and listen to them and recognize their devotion and tell Paul about their faith and their love. And what people reported to Paul, it made such an impact on him that he couldn't help but give thanks for the Ephesian Christians in his prayers, for their faith and their love toward all the saints. I say that he couldn't help but give thanks because of his choice of words to them. "I do not cease to give thanks," he told them. The Greek word for cease suggests that some force could make you stop doing something. It could restrain you from something, or even to simply stop as if you have lost the energy to keep going. I think Paul meant to use that word to say, "When I hear of your faith and love, I can't help but give thanks for you. I can't stop giving thanks for you. Nothing is going to keep me from giving thanks for you. My desire and energy to give thanks for you doesn't wane." Nothing could stop Paul's thanksgiving in his prayers for the Ephesian Christians. It makes me wonder, what would stop us? What would stop us from giving thanks and offering prayer for one another and our ministry together? What would stop us from living our faith and loving one another? The Ephesians certainly weren't perfect, but they were faithful. Faithful to the faith they professed and the love they shared. I imagine that like in our day, that means learning how to love people, not when they vote my way, but loving people. I imagine that means learning how to be people of faith, not only in good times, but anxious, divisive ones too. I imagine that means living the tenderness, compassion, and service of Jesus as our mission in all times, and not just when it's convenient or expedient to do so. That, my friends, my church, is what I give thanks for today when I think of you and what leads me to pray for you. I give thanks today for the faithful ways you are being church in all times and in all ways and in all the ways we can and must be people of faith and love at this time. We have pivoted to new ways of worshiping and gathering in groups, doing Bible studies and holding meetings, not simply because we had to. I mean, plenty of churches didn't do that at all. We have done it because of your faith and your love and your generosity that calls us to adapt so that your gifts and our gift of being church together can be expressed to one another and to this world. So today I give thanks to you as well as for you in my prayers. I give thanks today for the group of adults who are nurturing our children, youth, and adults on Sunday mornings before and after the worship service and throughout the week, yes, over Zoom, but yet not letting a pandemic stop us from growing in faith together. I give thanks today for all the ways you have continued our commitment to feed people through our pantry, noontime meal, Jan Peek House, and the design of a new kitchen as part of our capital campaign. These aren't simply good deeds. They are commitments to Jesus' way of feeding bodies and souls with love. I give thanks today for our staff, Tammy, Garrett, Stephanie, Lisa, Jim, John, and Ben. They have done so much to build the capacity of our ministry and keep it going through these days. Bible studies, youth groups, new curriculum, communications, building upkeep, construction, and cleaning. Worship live streaming, videos, and hosting meetings for people in multiple places. We are where we are at this point in the pandemic as a ministry because they are our staff. I give thanks today for our music ministry. Our choir takes turns singing each Sunday to lead us in worship. With Garrett's leadership, they create music virtually to share. Our bell choirs continue to practice in hopes of sharing their music soon. And thanks to Garrett, we experience not only his voice at times, but other musicians in the area that help us in worship. I give thanks for our congregational life events and all the efforts to stay connected during this time. Who knew that you could play games online together, share ideas for holidays, show each other what you're eating for lunch, tell stories about cats, and so much more all over Zoom? But that's what you do when you're a community that can't gather together, but still knows that you are committed to be church together. I give thanks for our adult and youth elders who have led our church during this year of uncertainty. They meet every month, yes, to hear reports, but even more to discern faithfully how to keep this ministry going strong. I'm thankful also for our deacons who have made a lot of phone calls this year and sent a whole bunch of cards during this pandemic. They haven't stopped trying to figure out what is next for them to share care and compassion. I give thanks for the many folks on the different commissions and teams who have kept meeting and showing up and working together to live our faith and mission in the world. Operations, gardeners, worship design, communications, nominating, who almost is done with a full slate of officers for us to vote on in 2 weeks. I give thanks for a mental health and wellness ministry team and a hunger action team and the Green Faith team. You all have said yes to faithful ministry, even as we have had to do ministry differently. And certainly I give thanks to our capital campaign project management team. They have met regularly for the last 2 years to implement our priorities as a church for this building, so that we are prepared for the coming years of ministry. I'm certainly grateful for the love and care you have shown to Tammy and me. You ask us how we're doing, and some of you even hold us accountable to take a day off. You tell us that you are reading the Daily Pulse and Daily Gift emails, and you even tell us what you're learning and sometimes what you agree with and what you don't agree with in those emails. And through all of this, you are giving faithfully to our ministry. Our general giving, our special offerings, our capital campaign, you are giving to it all. We are paying for a full staff. And we even added a part-time staff member in the midst of this pandemic to help us do online ministry. We are continuing our connections to God, one another, and the world through our shared generosity. I can only imagine what we will be able to do once we are able to welcome community groups back into the building, expand our food justice ministry, walk alongside those with our mental health needs, do intergenerational gatherings and ministry together, grow our online worship in tandem with our in-person one, and continue to form our faith together. All of this is an expression of what Christ the King Sunday is about. Jesus is Lord at all times. And you are witnesses to that good news with your faith, your love, your generosity, in good times and in bad. I hope you see all this good work for what it truly is. Opportunities to see God at work in you and me, through you and me, and as part of God's mission in this world God loves. Paul didn't just offer thanksgiving in his prayers for the Ephesians. He also prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wanted them to know the presence of Christ in who they were and what they did. We Presbyterians are really good at doing a lot of things, but today we're invited to see even more and to see deeply. Paul wanted the Ephesians to see the hope to which God has called you, the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe. We too are invited to see and share that hope. We too are invited to see and continue to grow in God's abundant riches. We too are invited to see and to keep working together in God's power to make God's neighborhood a reality here in Yorktown and around the world. For all of that, for who you are, for who we are together, thank you. Thank you for being neighbors together. With deep gratitude, your pastor, Chip. Amen.